From Carol McKinney Public Media in Oviedo, Florida.
I chose to attend Seminole State because I figured they're cheaper, the classes were a lot smaller, it was more personal, and I thought it just made sense to go from high school to a community college at the time as like kind of like a stepping stone to a four-year college. At the beginning of Seminole State, I was able to pay for it pretty easily. And as the tuition hikes increased and everything, I had to dip into my savings. Now at UCF, with a 15% increase, I have to get loans and other grants and whatever to help cover it. It's definitely becoming a hardship paying for school and everything.
Cher Foster has just graduated from Seminole State College. And like 80% of those graduates with an AA degree, she's headed for the University of Central Florida. But for the second year in a row, tuition at Seminole State College is increasing by 8%. Bright Futures scholarships are being reduced. Fees for adult education are increasing, and the federal stimulus funds are gone. 40% of the graduates of Seminole County Public Schools will enroll at Seminole State College this year. Can these students follow Cher Foster? Can they afford it? I'm Desta Horner. A 2 or a 4-year degree is vital in today's economy. 3 decades ago, full-time workers with a bachelor's degree made 40% more than those who only had a high school diploma. Today, that gap is 83%. If you invest your money in the stock market, the average rate of return is 7%. If you invest that same money in higher education, your rate of return is 15% because of your greater earning power. Seminole State College is a prime example of the crucial role played by 2-year educational institutions as the first step in higher education that can affect earning power for life. In addition, 30% of students at Seminole State are adults struggling to improve their chances for employment in a tight job market. So the need has never been greater. But continued budget cuts and rising tuition are facing both the college and the students who attend. In this feature, we will discuss the challenges to school budgets with Joseph Sarnowski, Vice President of Administrative Services and Chief Financial Officer at Seminole State College. We'll also hear from 3 students working and sometimes struggling to improve their lives through higher education. In an interview with Mr. Sarnowski at his office at Seminole State's main campus in Sanford, I asked him about the prospects for budget, enrollment, and tuition at the college.
Our budget about 5 years ago was just a little over $57 million. This coming year, our budget is expected to be about $76 million. So that's an increase of about 33% over the past 5 years. Our enrollment in that same time period has increased by 53%. So although our budget has gone up 33%, enrollment has increased 53% during that same period.
How can you do that? You've got more students and less money to work with.
That is the challenge that we face every day. The one thing that we've been fortunate enough to be able to do is to add budget in the areas where we needed to. We've been distributing programs in campuses where we thought were the best place to put them so that we can drive the total cost down and try to do that so we can manage the reduction in state funding that we've been getting.
Speaking of that reduction in state funding, what has been your reduction?
This past year, we saw a decrease that puts us actually below the state average. Seminole State College receives about $600 less on average per student.
Than most other colleges.
Than most other colleges in the system. Total cost is about $4,600 for the total cost for a student. 47% of that now is paid by the state, and 53% of that is paid by the students.
Has it always been that way?
No, it hasn't. The state of Florida originally set up that the intent was for 25% of the cost of the education to be paid by the students, and the state would provide 75% of the funding. This year, the state is providing less than half. So that's been decreasing every year for the past several years.
So the students who attend through tuition increases have been picking up a larger and larger share of the education they get at Seminole State.
Absolutely. The students have been picking up a larger share by paying tuition dollars. And because we've been growing so much, their students are becoming a larger and larger part of that budget.
And the budget for 2011-2012, will the students see an increase in tuition then?
They will. Our Board of Trustees just passed a tuition increase, 8% tuition increase. That follows the rate that the legislature set for increases in standard fees. And so students will be paying that increase next year.
When students pay that kind of an increase, particularly at a community college where there are already, these are students who are needing to look for a bargain in education. They can't afford to go to Harvard. They're hoping to get the best education they can for the least amount of money. Now another tuition increase on top of last year's tuition increase. What does this do to the students?
It puts a lot of pressure on them. It makes it challenging for them. The good part, if there is a good part, is that Seminole State and community colleges in Florida are the better choice when you talk about tuition increases. When you think of the universities increasing their tuition rates at 15% per year, 8% is half of that increase, so it's becoming a better bargain. However, the best option for a student, whether they want a two-year degree or a four-year degree, is to spend those first 2 years at the community college, pay that lower tuition rate for at least half of their education.
When you see these kinds of tuition increases, are you also seeing a number of students not completing the two-year course?
Well, that's interesting because actually we're seeing here at Seminole State the opposite. Students recognize that when they get to college, they need to be more serious about their studies. Whether people are looking for that next job or whether they are starting their first job, they want to get that degree as quick as possible. They're taking as many courses as they can while they can, and so students will do things like taking that extra course online. But Seminole State, at any rate, we've been seeing students complete quicker.
Do you notice that this increase in full-time students, increase in students going ahead and completing, is related to the economic situation that we're in?
Students will attend college, particularly community colleges, more often in times of economic crisis. So when the economy is getting worse, our enrollments generally increase. More students come to college either because they have time and they're not working, can't find a job, or honestly because they're in a job that they want to change now. And so they'll be going to school to get more preparation in certain areas or to change careers so that they can do that as the economy gets better. So we tend to see as the economy gets worse, more enrollment. And as the economy improves, more often than not, students will leave college and start going into the workforce.
Do you have any idea what percentage of Seminole State is job training as compared to academic?
More than a third of our students. Technical enrollments for us, we have post-secondary vocational programs in criminal justice programs, fire science programs, EMT programs, nursing programs, automotive programs, is becoming a more and more important part of what we do. The adult student is the person who has had that first job, either been laid off in this economy now, or has just decided they want to change careers. Community college is a great place to pick up coursework that allows them to find a new job.
Joseph Sweetis is one of those adults hoping that education will help him get a new job. I spoke with him at the admissions office at Seminole State. Joseph, what made you decide to come to Seminole State College?
Due to being unemployed and coming back to school, I see a lot of people my age are doing that. I have a niece, actually, that is 25 years younger than I am, and she attends here. So I was able to see the campus and, you know, see that it wasn't just high school kids or young kids. It was people my age also. And I love the campus and its convenient location. Of course, being a Florida resident, you get the Florida resident discount, which makes a big difference, and then financial aid. If financial aid wasn't available, I wouldn't be able to attend.
And the purpose for this is to retrain yourself and get yourself in a position where hopefully more job opportunities will be open.
Right. Well, actually, you know, the internet and computers was not very popular. It was probably the new technology when I was just getting out of school back then. Today, to have a job, you have to be well-versed in computers and that kind of technology. So it's kind of exciting. It's kind of teaching an old dog new tricks. You know, I hope to do it in 3 years. I'll have a degree and be out there in the workforce again.
Meeting the needs of adults like Joseph, returning for retraining, as well as teenagers fresh out of high school, are big challenges, especially with shrinking funding. Earlier this year, when Governor Rick Scott proposed the budget cuts in higher education, his policy advisor testified before the House Higher Education Appropriations Subcommittee. He said at that time, "Florida's colleges have for the last several years been able to do more with less, and this year's budget asks them again to do more with less." I asked Seminole State Vice President Joe Sarnowski if the college could continue to do more with less.
That's a good question. But unfortunately, we must do a good job with less state funds. We have less state funds, and so we must rely on students to pay that difference between a good quality education and what the state could afford to provide for that. But our goal is the same as the students, and that is that we both intend to provide an affordable education. We want a quality education for our students to achieve. We want to help them reach their goals as quickly as possible, and we want them to get engaged in the workforce as they desire. That is our goal, and we'll do that the best we can with the resources we have.
My concern is that there's going to reach a point at which the quality simply can't be sustained with the continued cuts. But you're saying as long as the students are willing to come up with the money to cover the gap, the quality can still be maintained.
I think the last decade we've seen the state being put in a situation where it needed to put more of that burden on the students. I think the challenge for the state this year is to reconsider whether that is the right policy. Do we still want to go in that direction? Or is the student paying half of their tuition rate enough? And should the state think of doing something different?
Why do you feel that it might not be appropriate for the students to pay even more of a share?
When you think about the earnings potential that students have, the tuition rate is fair. There's no doubt that students will get more earnings gain, earnings potential, from the dollars they invest in their own education. And that goes whether it's a community college or at a university, but it's even more so with the low cost of a community college. So is it a fair amount of tuition rate? It probably could be argued that it's a fair amount. Is it appropriate, though? Well, that's a good question. It is a bargain when you look at the cost of attending a university. The tuition rate for community college is much lower than students would have to pay if they were attending a public university, and obviously much, much lower than they would pay at a private university. So it probably is an appropriate idea. I think the state still looks to foundations and to grants to help provide those additional offsets to students' cost of tuition, Pell Grants, the Bright Futures, and other opportunities that students have to get resources to help lower their total out-of-pocket costs.
It could be argued that tuition is fair and even a bargain at public colleges. But according to a study by the National Center for Public Policy in Higher Education, from 1999 to 2009, tuition at public two-year colleges increased 71%, while the median family income declined by 5%, adjusted for inflation. Students struggle to put together financial aid and long hours at work to find the money for their larger share of tuition. Melanie is taking courses at Seminole State College this summer and striving to fill a lot of demands. In the student cafe at Seminole State, I asked her why she had chosen a two-year college.
Because it's a lot more financially in my range. Like, I can't afford to go to a university right now. My parents can't afford to send me to a university, so I just get financial aid and go to a community college.
Do you have a job?
Yes, I do.
Do you go to school full-time or just part-time?
Full-time.
How do you squeeze all of that in?
It's hard, and I have a lot of, like, other things to do after work and school, so it gets really hard to study, do homework, and work and everything. But I still manage. Like, I have really good time management, so it kind of works out.
Why do you do it?
Because I want to be more successful in my future and want to have a great career for my baby and, like, for my family when I'm older and stuff. I want to be successful, basically.
So you're a working mom?
I'm a soon-to-be mom.
You know that there's an upcoming 8% tuition increase that has been approved for the two-year colleges this year. What effect will that have on you?
It'll have a big effect on me because I already, like, am struggling having to pay for classes with financial aid. Yeah, they help in my books, but I still have to pay an extra money out of pocket, so it's going to be a little more extra out of my pocket, but so it's going to be hard, but hopefully, like, my spouse will be able to help me out, so.
What kind of financial aid do you get?
I get a Pell Grant, and I have to get a loan now for next year with the increase. I can barely afford it right now, so I'm sure I'll have to get a loan to help me out with school and books and stuff.
The federal government over the last 3 years has increased the Pell Grant funding, but now they're preparing to cut it. The state legislature has cut back on Bright Futures with the anticipation that they're going to cut even more. Under those two conditions, the students are being pressed from both sides. Their tuition is going up. Their sources of money as an individual are going down. What happens to the student?
They're squeezed. They really are. And one of the things that is a challenge this year is because that Pell Grant has been providing the most needy students. Pell Grants, things like that that provide resources, provide more than just tuition costs. They provide costs for books and supplies and transportation. Now, I can't think of any of those things that are going down this year either. So one of the things we do is we do rely more on foundations. There are additional grants. Our foundation provides scholarships to students. Matter of fact, this year our board actually set aside an additional $100,000 worth of scholarships to help students pay for books and food tickets and transportation and those types of things. So we're trying to provide more resources to help them lower the total cost of education. You know, the community colleges, this Florida college system now, is challenged at this time. With the economy being in such a strain, all of the institutions are being strained just like Seminole State College. All of us have a story about state funding being reduced and the need to pass on, not the want, not the desire, but the need to pass on many of those costs to students through tuition increases.
Vice President Sarnowski sees the challenge to Seminole State College as it strives to maintain quality and services with very tight resources. And students are challenged to meet higher cost while working for that valuable degree. But they all might agree with Cher Foster that it's worth it.
Going to Seminole State, or any community college for that matter, or state college, is a very good idea before you go to a four-year college. I don't regret going to Seminole State at all. It was one of the best experiences I've had in my life.
We've also included links to other websites offering more information related to this feature. Should you wish to comment on this podcast, we have provided an online process for you to offer your reaction to this feature. And you might also wish to email a link to this feature to someone who might value hearing it. If you wish to contact CMF Media, click on the Contact tab and send us an email. While at the website, we encourage you to visit our archive section for more stories about the people, politics, and history of our community. And while you're there, consider subscribing to the program content using the RSS feature we provide for your feed reader, or subscribe using iTunes. Once subscribed, you will be alerted immediately to each new feature we produce and post. You may prefer to subscribe to CMF's free e-letter, so we may keep you up to date on new programs as they are posted, or stay in touch by following CMF on Twitter and Facebook. CMF Public Media is a nonprofit, publicly supported charity. Information about CMF is available on the homepage of the website. For CMF Public Media, this is Desta Horner.
Support for CMF Public Media is made possible in part by the Friends of Carol McKinney, who encourage you to make a tax-deductible gift in support of the programming activities of Carol McKinney Foundation for Public Media.
You may give online at cmfmedia.org, where you may also see a complete list of those friends in the donor section of the website.
This podcast is a presentation of Carol McKinney Foundation for Public Media, Incorporated.
Visit cmfmedia.org for more information.
This is Judith Delora Smith for CMF Public Media.
And this is Michael Hominick.